Hey there, it's your happy Asian woman host, Alice Chen. Do you know any teens who are feeling overwhelmed with the college admissions process? If so, send them my way. I run Bright Story Admission Consulting, a boutique company that focuses on college application essays. A little about me. I'm a Stanford grad, a professional journalist, and I also coach other essay coaches. I love teaching people how to write, and I'm so thrilled when my students get into schools that they love, like Stanford, MIT, and the UCs. Learn more about my company at brightstory.info. Welcome to Happy Asian Woman, a show to help Asian American women find more joy in love, work, and life. I'm your host, Alice Chen, a professional journalist and entrepreneur. I've also been married for almost 15 years, and I'm the mother of two young girls. If you want to build more community, come join our supportive Facebook group. The link's on my website, www.happyasianwoman.com. Thanks for joining us. If you missed part one, be sure to listen in as we discussed how to recover from burnout by challenging your mindset and calming your body through breathwork and self-compassion. We also discuss how to set boundaries in a non-confrontational way. Let's listen in to part two. If you know someone that you think is burned out and they're not really doing anything about it, but they seem really cranky or they can't participate in some of the things you need them to participate in, or, you know, things like that, how would you advise like helping support this person if they don't seem to want to take any steps to improve themselves or take care of themselves?
Yeah, I love that question. And it's a really caring question. I would say this is a little bit, you know, of a sensitive topic, mm-hmm. in that there can definitely be some amount of denial about burnout.
Yeah, for sure.
Men in particular, you know, speaking of the difference between men and women, it can be very difficult for men in general to admit that they need help. Whereas I think women are socialized to ask for help and support and have much stronger support networks. Mm-hmm. And so if you feel in, you know, a lot of people are genuinely in completely oblivious that they are burned out, it can really be like a frog slowly getting boiled in a pot of water.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you just don't even notice the temperature increasing. And so a couple of really good gentle things to do if you feel like someone might be defensive or caught off guard because they don't even realize it, can be either gently sharing a quiz and saying like, hey, you know, I saw this on Instagram and I just took to the quiz and like thought you might be curious about this or thought you might find this interesting. Or sharing an article, something like an article like five signs that you might be burned out is a really good, simple thing. And then people can kind of just self-diagnose. Mm-hmm. And then asking someone for their opinion might be great. And just to say, you know, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So keeping it really gentle and open-ended. Mm-hmm. So that's great if the burnout is kind of more gentle. It's not really putting someone at risk. And then if someone's really burnt out, it may be time to, you know, talk to them more forcefully or even have an intervention with multiple friends and family. Mm. And, you know, so my husband was recently pretty burnt out because his business really started taking off, and literally he's just, you know, reactive and responding to all the work coming in. And, you know, I finally just noticed that he wasn't taking care of himself. He wasn't behaving the way he usually was. He wasn't smiling that much. And he, you know, was working a lot more than usual and you know, was just acting really irritable and just really exhausted. He just wasn't smiling very much. Mm-hmm. And so I finally just told him, like, babe, you're burning out. And I think you literally need to take a break because I'm worried about your well-being.
Right.
Like, you don't feel happy and you seem really on edge. And he wasn't sleeping well either. And so I just said, I've been here before. I've seen this movie before. And I really think that you need to take a week off, completely unplug, don't be online. So I sent him to Esalen in Big Sur for a week of a retreat. And he took this really great workshop called Cultivating Authentic Happiness. And
a lot.
Yeah. That type of break can be exactly the sort of reset that people need.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, because for my husband, he is also, I'm sure there are times when he's been burned. My husband has also been burned out at times. And I feel like he doesn't work for himself. He works in a profession where, you know, it's notorious. He's in medicine that you can't really take care of yourself. And you do have those long hours and there's like no flexibility. And, you know, there are very high standards where you have to get all the facts right, be on time, all that stuff. And so what would you recommend for people in those type of like highly stressful fields where you can't really take a break? And then if he is like taking a break, like our kids and he has other responsibilities,
right?
What would you say for something like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, that can definitely be challenging. Like the structure that I really recommend for recovery from burnout and really getting on that path for rest is to address the burnout and sort of recover from it in, you know, a specific rest action, like taking a week off and completely unplugging. Because sometimes you have to break the cycle.
Right.
Just taking one day off is not enough to undo months or years of exhaustion. So I think that people need to find a way to, you know, take at least 5 days consecutively off just to start relaxing and resting. Mm. And then you can build in practices. And, you know, like, I think one really simple thing, the two most effective things, in my opinion, are daily meditation, because that can actually, there's so much science that shows meditation really changes your brain and it really helps to calm your whole mind and body. And it brings that relaxation, right? Which burnout really, you know, destroys. And then the second thing is just the physical exercise. Because when you're burned out, you're not generating endorphins. You have that negative mindset, and then what causes the negative spiral as well.
So
I do a certain amount of burnout coaching, but then also one of my clients who came to me and was burned out, he's actually a former physician as well. As we talked about what he wanted to do next, and he wanted to transition out of medicine, we realized that his lived experience is what he wanted to help other people do. And so he is now focused entirely on being a burnout coach, especially from the lens of his own personal lived experience and his path to that liberation.
Right. Yeah, I actually feel like there are several doctors I personally know that are coaches for other doctors, because that's like the most intense field. And it's really hard, I think, to get like prolonged rest and things like that.
Yeah. So happy to connect you also. I feel like sometimes, for folks who are in particular profession, it can be so powerful to talk to someone else who is literally in a similar profession and situation, right? Because I can't understand what it's like to be working with patients all the time.
Yeah, I know. And I was just thinking, my mom, who's taking care of my dad, I don't know if she could take 5 days, you know? Well, she's not like physically taking care of him, but she's managing all of like the medical details and things like that. But
yeah,
I guess we could try maybe to cover for her for a few days, but I don't even think she'd want to, you know? So that's what I'm saying. Like, you see these people who are burning out and they're like not really open to suggestion.
Yeah. You know, I think the other thing that can be really powerful is the power of support networks. Mm-hmm. And so I started for some of my clients who, you know, have a little bit more of a negative outlook or have like ups and downs in terms of their moods and just feeling a little like de-energized or, you know, like low level depression. Yeah. I started a daily gratitude WhatsApp group for them. So every day people just share their three top gratitudes. And so I haven't really gone there with like burnout coaching yet, but I think that, you know, identifying maybe someone else who can support or who you can check in with would be powerful. And that daily gratitude practice also is another way of connecting with other people and getting support as well.
Yeah, I love that. Sometimes in my Happy Asian Woman mm-hmm. podcast group, I do the mm-hmm. what are you grateful for? What's making you happy? And then I get inspired by other people's ideas too. So that's such a great idea.
Yeah.
Great. So are there any good books or other resources on burnout that you recommend to your clients?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a great question. So I would say in terms of burnout, I usually, you know, when someone is burned out, you want to try not to give them too much additional work to do because it's the type of thing where they're just never going to get there.
Yeah.
But I, there are a couple of really great simple things that I think are impactful. My favorite person, you know, who's a thought leader on burnout and rest is Arianna Huffington. Mm. And, I read her book Thrive, a number of years ago.
Okay.
And, when, you know, I was just feeling really anxious, you know, running my company and startups are just stressful.
Yeah.
And, when I read the book, and she kind of, positioned the book as a response to Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In, which said, oh, like, here's the blueprint for women to do everything, right? Take care of the household, like, and have this crazy career and have four kids.
Right.
And then Arianna Huffington said, no, I think women should be leaning out. Cause she had collapsed in exhaustion 2 years after starting the Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. And literally just, that was her wake up call, that, you know, this culture of overwork, was, you know, going to kill her.
Yeah.
That's a great book. And that was actually the book that helped me find meditation because, you know, in the back of the book, she had this whole section with resources and in the Headspace app. And so I read it and I said, well, I'm desperate. Like, sure, I'll try this. And I loved it. And it really helped me get out of the deep valley of like exhaustion and burnout that I was feeling. So that's great. Another really great meditation app is Insight Timer. Mm-hmm. And you can just look up burnout and or rest. And there are a lot of great meditations there. And what I love about Insight Timer is it's free. And there are over 90,000 free meditations.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And if you're the type of person who likes to be on journeys or progressions, like $60 a year, you can get unlimited access to all of their courses. Ooh. So they have a lot of like 14-day or 30-day courses where you progressively build as well. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's not a long commitment, but it's something that's really accessible and can be really useful. I love for specific, you know, problems or challenges, I like meditations that specifically address those things mm-hmm. because it's not about relaxing, but it's about getting perspective mm-hmm. on really addressing the specific thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I love the Nat Ministry. It's an Instagram account mm-hmm. Run by people of color. And they talk about rest as liberation. Mm. The whole idea is that like we need to rest in order to, you know, do our best work, or we need to rest so that we're free, mm-hmm. right? Because otherwise, you know, we are creating a prison in our own minds mm-hmm. and in our own lives by forcing ourselves to, you know, do all this stuff that actually doesn't matter, or that is getting in the way of the lives that we actually want to live.
That's really interesting. I'm going to have to think about that. But yeah, I agree. We are imprisoning ourselves. We're our own, taskmaster. So, and I realized we forgot to answer that question of how did you come out of burnout specifically?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So for me, it was actually, this is sort of like the third pillar of recovering from burnout. Sometimes it's about practical strategies. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, like I hit this breaking point where I was staying up till 3 or 4 in the morning, like writing people's resumes. Cause when I first started my business, it was mostly just me. Yeah. And when the pandemic hit and overnight the US went to, you know, 15 or 20% unemployment, we were just so flooded. And being a newer coach and resume writer, I just said, well, I'll take all the business I can get, right? Mm-hmm. Also, just my instinct to help people really kicked in. And I realized how I didn't want to say no to anyone because I realized how impactful my work could be in, you know, helping people get back into, you know, a job or giving them hope and things like that. And you know, I just like hit this point where like I had that day where I woke up and I looked at my calendar and just broke down.
Right.
And that was sort of the beginning of getting out of burnout. That point where I just admitted like, okay, something has to give. I literally cannot keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, you know, like maybe a couple of weeks prior, I had signed on a new client for a LinkedIn rewrite. And he also turned out to be just a really savvy business person. And, you know, he's a venture capitalist. And so like when we talked, I had said, you know, I don't want your money. Like, I would love to just do an exchange and get a couple of hours of your time in exchange for the rewrite. And so I was telling him, because I said, I feel like I need a little bit of guidance. Mm-hmm. And so I was telling him about what was going on. And, you know, he asked me some questions and he said, well, why are you staying up so late? And I said, well, I'm literally, you know, writing all these things. And then I'm reviewing the work of the people on my team. And like, I'm making all these edits. And he said, what if you just cut a little bit of a corner and for the resumes that your team, so I did have a couple of people on my team writing the resumes. What if you just sent them, right? You know, like save yourself that extra 30 or 40 minutes reviewing things.
Yeah.
And you know, if the clients are not happy with it, they'll give you feedback and then you can fix it in those two additional rounds of review. Mm-hmm. And the people on your team can fix them.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, he said it might not be perfect, right? Mm. But it's probably going to be good enough. And you know, what's the value of you getting a couple more hours of sleep every night? Mm-hmm. And so that was actually really powerful. And you know, within a week or two, it was actually working really well. And I really didn't get get much feedback from clients.
Yeah.
And it didn't really feel different to them. And that really made the light bulb go on for me. And I realized, wow, I've been trying to do the work of way too many people myself.
Yeah.
I have the money. You know, my margins are good. Right. I just need to go higher as quickly as possible for more people. And, you know, now I work about 25 hours a week. And we accomplish a lot more work, but I have a much bigger team. Mm. And so that's how I've scaled. And so I guess, you know, the takeaway is as long as you have the budget and the resources for it, one other really key way of avoiding burnout is to delegate, right?
Yeah.
If you're a business owner, hire earlier than you think you need to. Mm-hmm. And also if you are a manager of some sort, don't be afraid to ask for more headcount. Mm-hmm. It could even be an intern or it could be someone entry level, but there's always work that you personally don't need to be doing.
Yeah.
I always ask myself that question. do I personally need to be doing this, or could I train someone? If I yeah. could train someone, then I'm just going to pay for it and delegate it.
Mm-hmm. That's such a great reminder, especially for all the unpaid labor that I think a lot of women do. Like yeah. a lot of my friends who are working big jobs or even part-time or whatever, and watching mm-hmm. their kids so much, I'm like, you're literally doing the work of like five people, because if you had to hire, you know, kids are 24/7 mm-hmm. and that literally takes like five different people to do, you know, yeah. if you divide by 40. So, anything else you thought I should have asked or anything you wanted to say?
Yeah. You know, I think that, again, keeping things simple and distilling them down. I think if your listeners could take one thing from this conversation today, it would be that being quote unquote lazy and working no more than 20 or 25 hours a week should be a goal. Mm. And the less you work, it may sound counterintuitive, but the less you work, the more impact on the world you can actually have. Because, yeah, if you are burnt out, you're not fully showing up. And if you are well rested, then you can truly be your biggest and your best self.
I love that idea. And as a fellow entrepreneur, I agree. I don't work a ton of hours, but I feel like I deliver high value and impact. But what about people who work 9-to-5 jobs and are on staff? How do they work like 25 hours a week?
Yeah. Well, that's definitely a good question. It's been really interesting. I feel like, especially once the pandemic started,
right.
A number of my clients who come to me thinking that I'm going to help them find their next job mm-hmm. end up deciding, you know what? I actually want to start my own business, or mm-hmm. I want to become a coach, or I want to be a consultant. Mm-hmm. And I want more of that work-life balance, and I want more satisfaction. And so I think for a lot of people, the value equation doesn't end up making sense. In my last job, I was, you know, the head of sales, and like the company told me a little bit resentfully that I was the highest paid employee at the company. And yet I still didn't think I was compensated in a way that really aligned with the value I believed that I was creating. And I ultimately just realized that it wasn't me, it wasn't them, it was just the value equation, the situation that didn't make sense. Companies are always there to make a margin off of their employees. Mm-hmm. And so you're never going to capture the full value that a customer or a client pays.
Right.
But if you run your own business, you get 100% of that value. And even after paying off the expenses and paying your team, there's still a lot more left. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, working 20 or 25 hours a week, I have a really lucrative business that I'm happy with, but I don't really need to work more hours than that.
Mm-hmm. That's so fascinating. So you're saying that for people who are working staff mm-hmm. jobs, perhaps consider going out on your own to coach, consult, mm-hmm. and start your own business.
Exactly. Yeah, I see that as an increasing trend. And I think that a lot more people are also waking up to that, given the fact that remote work has become so normalized during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are just saying, you know, I'm not even going to consider working for a company that's not going to allow me to work remotely. Mm-hmm. And then one additional extension to that is people really starting to think, well, what is the meaning of my life? And if I really can just design my life and have whatever it is I want, where do I want to be working from? And do I really want to be working till I'm 65 and then retire and then enjoy myself, mm-hmm. right? And I think that the whole remote work thing has made people realize that the information economy mm-hmm. Has a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. And there are ways that we can all monetize our wisdom. Mm-hmm. Like as long as you have a certain amount of experience right. under your belt, there are ways that people can make 2 or 3 or even 10 times what they ever mm-hmm. could make in a full-time job. But I think, you know, speaking to the folks who are in a regular role.
Yeah.
I think that there are ways of alleviating burnout as well, right? By prioritizing rest, like setting the boundaries, and then being really clear in terms of what your goals are. Mm-hmm. I think as Asian Americans, I know that for myself, I definitely had the parents who were like pretty nice about it, but definitely would ask the question, why not A+ everywhere? You know, when the report cards would come out. And I realized that that's definitely a conditioning that has a lot of fallacies in that in life, being perfect is oftentimes completely uncorrelated with being happy or actually being the most inspired. And, having the most impact on the world. And so another thing that people who are in the working world, at companies can do is to really get clear on what their goals are and then think about, what's on their plate and ask the question, is doing this aligned with my goals? Or how can I prioritize my work so I am very clear on what the most important things are, so that if there are little things that are kind of polishing the stone, I can just choose not to do them, or I can choose to do them not as well, or I can find a way to delegate it to somebody else. So that can actually create a lot of peace of mind, because I think the other challenge with burnout and the other cause of burnout is the constant multitasking and the context switching. And so if you can do a smaller number of more impactful things, that's actually really huge.
Yeah, very true. I definitely agree with you that the perfectionism can lead to burnout and a lack of priorities. So I totally agree with everything you're saying. So thank you. How can people find you and work with you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I'm mostly on LinkedIn and Instagram. So LinkedIn is a great way to connect with me. And my handle there is Joyce Guan West. And then I'm also on Instagram. And on Instagram, I tend to post more inspirational, thought-provoking content. And then there are also some good photos of my two cockapoo puppies.
Yes, I've seen those. So great. Well, any last thoughts or anything else you wanted to say?
No, I think Alice, you always are really comprehensive and you hit all of the points. Thank you so much. And I really love your insights and your personal perspectives and sharing on burnout as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Joyce. Thank you so much for helping everybody listening too. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it with a few friends. I have a dream to build up a strong community of Asian women, and I think the best way to do that is through word of mouth. Also, if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that would be awesome. Finally, come join our community on Facebook where we discuss these episodes and how to incorporate happiness into our everyday lives. Thanks and have a great week.